only got 10 guys on the field.
Third down and 7. This one is launched from McLaurin. He's got it. Touchdown. Touchdown, Terry McLaurin.
That was his second big play of the night. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. The Jaden Daniels, Terry McLaurin connection, Pearl, is on schedule and on time. Commanders go into Cincinnati, pull off a very big upset, and now Jaden Daniels is like leading the pack for the best rookie from this vaunted class.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's 3 games in, so that it's probably a little premature. You could accuse us of that. But it's not just that. It's the way he looked in preseason. It's the combination with Cliff Kingsbury. They seem like a perfect marriage. It's last week that he actually won a game. And the fact is all the other rookie quarterbacks have struggled that we've seen until Bo Nix had a good game last week. Jaden Daniels is kind of perfect for today's NFL, right? He can run like crazy. He's got a perfect arm. I'm not sure I see the flaw except for injuries. There was a play, a key, I think it was 4th down, where he rolled out to the right and then put this cut on the defense. It was unbelievable. I'm not sure I want my quarterback making cuts like running back cuts. Eventually, I saw a little bit of flash. The back of my head is RG3 as a rookie in Washington.
Right.
Like, you cannot run your quarterback too much. And that's the game right now in Washington. Let's protect this man at all costs. So I almost want to see him not run the ball and just throw it all over the place. He needed it last night because they couldn't really stop Cincinnati's offense.
Right.
But at a certain point, like, they have to really, like, do you have to worry about that? Or are you of the school that, like, you know, if you have that talent, let it go?
See, that I'm different than you in this way.
Yeah.
That there's a reason why Jaden Daniels now looks like a scary quarterback, and it is his ability to use his legs. I get you don't want to take unnecessary contact, but you got to do what you have to do to win the game.
You say that, but then let's talk in week 18 when there's third stringers across the NFL.
Well, I know and I get that, but I feel like you can't tell a guy who's in a tight game on the road where you could have a signature win or something that really breathes a lot of confidence into your team, like a season-defining win, potentially, for the Washington Commanders, and tell a guy, all right, dial it back. They couldn't dial it back. To be honest, like the Bengals started to put together their own touchdown drives in the second half. Mm. And so you found yourself in a shootout. At this point, you have to do whatever you've got to do to win the game. So to me, if he's got to use his legs, he's just got to learn how to protect himself. He slid and it was like they threw confetti. Like, he's got to be able to slide more. He's got to be able to understand you got to go out of bounds as opposed to fighting for maybe that extra yard, or just be smart about it. Don't take that away from him, though.
You sure?
Yeah.
All right. We'll see. There's another quarterback, Lamar Jackson, who wins MVPs, but he's awfully hurt come postseason a lot of times. I just think that, you know, Jaden Daniels ran 12 times last night. He was on fire passing the ball. Last night was a shootout. It was a little different. That would be my only worry because, listen, this is a franchise that has always found the banana peel since Joe Gibbs' era ended. So I'm actually excited for them. I know they're a division rival of my Eagles. This is so cool after that terrible Dan Snyder era. Finally, they get a savior in Jaden Daniels. I just worry, like, okay, guy still weighs about 195 pounds. Let's be careful here.
Did you guys happen to see the stat that they put up about the Washington Commanders coaches? Did you see that? I had to look it up. I'm like, there's no way this is right. It is. So Dan Quinn is now 2-1. This is the first winning record. Now it's 2-1. The last coach to finish his tenure, and Dan Quinn's tenure is not done, but the last coach to have a winning record as the Washington football team, whatever you want to call it, the last coach to finish with a winning record is Joe Gibbs. Every other coach has had a losing record as a head coach. Jim Zorn was 12-20. Mike Shanahan was 24-40. Jay Gruden was 35-49. Bill Callahan was an interim coach at 3-8. Ron Rivera, 26-40. Now Dan Quinn's 2-1. I mean, that is awful.
Is that unusual, though? Is there a Bills coach between McDermott and Marv Levy who had a winning record?
You want to start comparing yourself to the Bills in that era? this is why I got a Fred Jackson jersey up on my wall here behind me. It was bleak and dark.
Yeah, no, I'm not surprised at all. Again, that was ownership, though, right? Like, Mike Shanahan obviously knows how to coach football. Joe right. Gibbs clearly knows how to coach, second year Joe Gibbs. So, Spurrier, I'm not so much. I don't know if he was really equipped for the NFL lifestyle.
He went 12-20.
Yeah. But he, what did he shoot
Marty
on the golf course?
Marty Schottenheimer was 8-8.
Oh, look
at that. Trubisky was 1-2. Norv Turner was 49-59. I could keep going. I mean, it's rough. Got it back to George Allen. Finally had a winning record.
Gibbs was a nightmare, by the way. As an Eagles fan, that guy ruined many a Christmas for a young Andrew Perloff.
855-212-4227. If you had to call it now, who would you rather have for the next 10 years, whatever? Would you rather have Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams? That poll question is up right now at Maggie and Pearl. Kevin in Oregon has a different take on this game, and it has to do with the Commanders head coach Dan Quinn. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, you guys. Yeah, when Dan Quinn took the Commander's job, leaving the defensive coordinator job at the Cowboys, I thought, this guy is nuts. But after seeing what the Dallas Cowboys defense has turned into and seeing this defensive-minded head coach get a Jaden Daniels thrown in his lap, I mean, the guy looks like a genius right now. There's one thing I would ask him to do. I don't care if any other coach on the team wears their hat backwards. It's just not a good look for a head coach.
Interesting. Kevin, backwards hat, not professional for a head coach. So I'm going to go ahead, Kevin, and respectfully disagree there. I get it. We're not wearing suits and fedoras on the sideline anymore. It's a lot more casual. Did you think Bill Belichick was unprofessional by wearing a cutoff hooded sweatshirt? If you're going to say yes to that, then okay, maybe you're being consistent at least. But Bill Belichick looked homeless on the sideline. That was the furthest thing from a professional dress, you know?
And we all hated Bill Belichick because he looked like a schlub and he talked like a schlub and he was the most disliked coach.
I think we hate him because he won so much. Hey. If he looked like a schlub and was coaching the Jets all these years, maybe you have more of a criticism. I think that people didn't like him because he won and he cheated.
Well, we all loved Andy Reid. We all love Andy Reid and he wins. Bill Belichick was a pickle.
But do you think it was because he wore cutoff?
Yeah,
hoodie?
I think it was definitely part of it. It's
I think
he's
that was
like,
part
I don't
of the
care.
Lore of him.
I mean, yes, it was sort of the Darth Vader lore of him. Like, but he was definitely the bad guy, and I think that outfit sort of fit into that. It looks like I don't care. I mean, yeah, football guys are like, yeah, he's wearing cutoff. But it's generally like he was as unlikable as a human being could be as a coach. I mean, we love Andy Reid to death, and he wins. So did you all hate Belichick? And I mean, we made fun of the cutoff sweatshirts, but we're not like, oh, that's cool.
No, but did you knock him for that because it was unprofessional dress?
I always thought, yeah, I mean, in the sense like you knocked Bill Belichick, like the whole on to Cincinnati, like, no, you didn't. You knew he was brilliant, but you're like, ah, man, it doesn't look like it's any fun to be around that dude.
That's fine, but I'm saying, do you think that Dan Quinn looked unprofessional with a backwards hat? And did you also, like, do you think that these guys should dress nicer is what I'm asking you?
No, but I honestly have other issues with Dan Quinn. The Dan Quinn experience will giveth and taketh. Like, Dan Quinn was great with the Cowboys until he wasn't. But no, I have no problem with the backwards hat. And honestly, wasn't the camera on Cliff the entire game? I barely saw it. And that perfectly coiffed hair and the high fives. Like, Cliff gets all the camera time. I didn't even know Dan Quinn was there last night.
Yeah, I mean, he got a little bit. But yeah, the backwards hat doesn't bother me. I get it. This is the Colin Cowherd kind of thing about guys, quarterbacks shouldn't wear hats and stuff like that. To me, I don't really mind it. It's a sporting event. It's not a boardroom. Guys are super casual. They're wearing basketball coaches don't even wear suits anymore. Everything has gotten more casual. The other thing about Dan Quinn is, let's revisit that. Did Dan Quinn leave Dallas or was he asked to leave and found a good spot here so that it saved everybody a little face and didn't have to actually fire him? Like, Dan Quinn was getting interviews when the defense was actually awesome start to finish. And even in the playoffs, we're holding the 49ers to not a lot of points. But then they get blown out by Green Bay. I think that Dan Quinn and the Cowboys were parting ways no matter what.
I think the Cowboys were happy to see Dan Quinn get a head coach.
Exactly. They didn't have to fire him.
Right.
And they brought in Mike Zimmer, who's all about stopping the run. Ha ha. Not working.
No, but definitely not working.
Zimmer also, too, is the weird blitzes thing, and that's not working.
That's not
all.
Working either.
Nothing he's doing is working. 2 weeks. Last
I think,
2 weeks.
Yeah, Dan Quinn is that Seattle defense, and they think that it's not aggressive enough. Dan Quinn, to his credit, did turn around. Remember the Cowboys were when Mike Shuler, was it either a Shuler or some legacy kid.
Mike Nolan.
Okay, Mike Nolan. Yeah, same player, same coach. Yeah, I mean, he did a great job in Dallas until he didn't. That's why I wonder what's the shelf life here. Is Dan Quinn, it almost feels like Dan Quinn was, they settled on Dan Quinn. It wasn't like, oh my God, we got Dan Quinn. Everybody kind of wanted Ben Johnson there, right?
Well, remember Ben Johnson, wasn't he like on the plane?
Yes.
What was that story?
He was on the plane and then he was like, you know what, change of plans. I don't want to go through with this.
Right, and he was the Lions offensive coordinator.
Yeah, and it's funny, we talk about Dan Quinn.
No, I'm sorry, it was the Washington people were on the plane to Detroit.
And Ben said, turn around.
And Ben said, don't bother.
Yeah,
right.
It's all good. Yeah, hope you save that gas mileage.
Jeez.
The funny thing about Dan Quinn, though, is we talk a lot about his time at the Cowboys, but I mean, he went to the Super Bowl with the Falcons.
Yeah.
I kept reminding myself of that watching his game last night, being like, this guy is like a Super Bowl caliber coach. I feel like maybe he was kind of underrated in these coaching circles, like in terms of like the guys that people were looking for head coaches. I know we're not really on the defensive coaches, but the guy's been a winner. Like, he went to Atlanta, a team that was terrible, and like, had two back-to-back really good seasons, one in which they won an NFC championship. So it's not like this guy's a schlub as a head coach. Even if you don't like his backwards hat, you think he looks like a schlub.
But people in Atlanta, I mean, that was a Kyle Shanahan project, it felt like. I think, like, people remember him more than Dan Quinn.
For all the wrong reasons.
Dan Quinn's claim to fame is that Super Bowl game plan. That was him, right, against Denver. That is, I think, his peak moment was defensive coordinator of the Seahawks.
It was a blowout.
Yeah, that game was over
before it started.
And also the 28-3 Falcons loss. But I feel like Dan Quinn made his name in that game. And then even last night, like, the defense was not great. I mean, they didn't seem like Burrow was having too much trouble carving them up. They don't have great players, but still, we'll see how the season plays out. They're 2-1. I'm not writing Dan Quinn in his coach of the year yet.
No, I'm not either. But I guess, like, it's funny knowing now, if you knew then what you know now, you're not trusting Kyle Shanahan to call the game in the Super Bowl, right? I mean,
When you're in Atlanta.
Like,
well, that's...
We didn't know that then.
I don't know. I mean, I think there's an anti-Kyle Shanahan bias to my right. The guy is 9-4 in the playoffs.
I'm just saying, if you knew then what you know now...
I understand. You're not trusting him, so you call a couple more run plays. Your defense completely disappeared in this second.
I think also because it was a little demoralizing that the offense couldn't sustain drives. And now here come the Patriots and, you know, again, knowing then what you know now. They didn't know that then. We didn't know that Kyle Shanahan has a penchant for mismanaging the end of games.
Okay. So who's going to call the plays?
Dan Quinn.
The offensive plays?
I think he would have stepped in to say, we need to be running the ball more.
Right, I think a head coach can say, hey, let's get a run play in here.
Yeah, totally. You can say that now, but Dan Quinn's not going to call the plays. I don't even think he knows how to call it.
He might not call him, but he might say, stop throwing the ball. He might.
Yeah, and literally, there was about two plays where they should have run the ball. Like, it wasn't like, I mean, Kyle Shanahan, you say that about Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan's going to win a Super Bowl. I guarantee you that.
Listen.
Probably before Dan Quinn.
He may. Although we should talk about what's going on with the 49ers right now, because if the pursuit of that Super Bowl is going to happen this season, things are getting a lot harder for the 49ers. And we'll tell you the latest news in just a moment. 855-212-4227. I'm curious if other people are with Kevin on this one. Do you think Dan Quinn looks unprofessional wearing a backwards hat?
He looks like a tryhard. I don't think he looks unprofessional. Like, you guys were having the conversation about Belichick. Like, to me, like, both of those guys are trying to give off a look.
Right.
And it's not, neither of it, I think,
not
is that.
Not the same look, though.
No, it's not the same look, but I don't think either was authentic. I think Bill Belichick purposely wanted to look like a schlub because he wanted to look like a schlub. I think Dan Quinn wants to look like the fun, like, player's coach because that's the image he wants to project, which is fine. And I think, you know, they said on the broadcast, they feel like the players feel like it's authentic. Then that works for him.
Right.
I don't think either is all that authentic. I think there's a message to what they're doing in terms of how they dress. I don't think it's unprofessional. I just think it's kind of like a try hard.
I think Dan's trying to make himself look younger. You know, not that he's old, but you have a young team. Maybe it's a little bit more
casual.
But
he did this in Dallas. Like, I mean, I know he's in the booth, but he's wearing the backwards hat then. I thought, oh, that's interesting. And then he kept it as a head coach. My thing is be consistent. I'm fine with it because he was doing it in Dallas. Right. So this is him continuing that. I just feel like it's very clearly like I'm trying to look like the hip, energetic guy. Right. So therefore, I wear my hat backwards. If I was a player, I'd be like, okay, guy. Like, sure. But, it's working. And the players love him. So, like, I don't think we should bash him for it.
Worth a poll question?
I'm about to turn my hat backwards because of Dan Quinn. just in honor of that game last night.
I can't imagine you as a backwards hat guy.
Well, I just feel like it's amazing that we took a time machine back to 2007 sports talk radio to talk about backwards hats. I'm not doing it. This is such a sports radio cliche. Nobody except that caller cares. The backwards hat thing has been done to death. It's fine. Nobody cares anymore.
I wasn't sure if maybe it was back. I thought it was over too, but maybe it gets
I think Matt Hasselbeck killed that. It's like, oh, Matt Hasselbeck's wearing his hat backwards. We can't really do this thing. I've heard that backwards hat argument. I'm not doing it.
I thought it was backwards or frontwards. Wasn't Colin Cowherd's issue with just quarterbacks wearing hats in general, or was it backwards hats? I can't remember. 855-212. Right. Okay. 855-212-4227. Okay. We will dive into what we need to get to with the Dallas Cowboys, and that is Dak Prescott calling the offense unprofessional. Is he right? Is this misguided? And where do they go from here? We'll get to all of that next. It's Maggie and Perloff.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. Not all 1 and 2 teams are built the same, Maggie. It does feel like the wheels are coming off in certain places. And maybe it's because we talk about them all the time. But things feel a little off in Dallas.
Yeah, let's hit our Cowboy quickie. We talked a lot about what the game looked like on Sunday, yesterday, about how the Cowboys tried to come back against the Ravens but fell short, even though they scored 19 points in the fourth quarter, Pro, and how it was kind of empty calories, if you will. So we have Dak Prescott talking about the offense and how it has to be more professional.
Us as players, we've got to be more professional and understand our jobs, understand where we're supposed to be, and do that time and time again and keep our focus.
Yeah, that's not nothing. Dak Prescott even said, Perloff, this goes back to practice. Felt like they had a bad practice on Thursday and maybe couldn't turn the page from it. I mean, if you're still thinking about Thursday's practice on Sunday and that's bleeding over, then obviously, you know, guys have to get their head in the game.
So who's he calling out? Feels like, if I had to guess, the offensive line. Based on, I'm just guessing here, or is it CeeDee? It's not CeeDee Lamb. He's not going to call out CeeDee. That would be too controversial. Even though CeeDee Lamb does feel like he disappears. I mean, I think he's saying,
was the body language great in terms of professionalism?
I think
The penalties, though, mostly the offensive line, so I guess maybe he's calling them out. But
I mean, I came in the season. Remember I said, I'm like, oh, they nailed it again. They drafted all these great offensive linemen. But then you forget it's hard to learn that position that quickly. Maybe that's a vulnerable spot.
So that's your Cowboys quickie. Let's So here's a little bit more when Dak was pressed on what lack professionalism. He said, knowing where you're supposed to be, knowing your reads, knowing where you're supposed to line up, knowing your routes, adjustments for certain coverages. Every part of what being a professional is, it's doing your job, being prepared for every part of the job.
Okay.
So time away from the building to being in the building. Just about being a pro and understanding you can only get so many practice reps, but you can watch film, you can do all these other things that'll help make up for it. We just got to be more focused, and that's what, to me, on offense, we haven't been as focused as we should. We've had a few mental errors that were crucial, and to me, it goes into being professional and understanding what you've got to do.
So that sounds a little bit like the receivers.
A little bit.
Who are not really household names other than CeeDee Lamb. I guess Brandon Cooks a little bit. Wow, that is so is he selling out his team right there? Actually, when you say that, it's like he's not pointing at himself. He's pointing at everybody else.
Kind of. I mean, he's not pointing at the defense. He's just making sure it's all about the offense. And he's definitely, I mean, to say that, you know, about practice reps, but you can watch film.
Is this
I'm sorry,
okay?
To me, that was CeeDee.
Yeah, maybe. Is that okay for the quarterback to sell out the rest of the offense and not point it? I thought quarterbacks were supposed to say it's all on me.
Well, I mean, I think Dak is probably looking at it like, I got the contract. I'm here. I'm the one who's going to get all the negative attention if we don't meet our goals. Mm. It's time for me to call people out. Maybe he thinks he's being a leader.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he is, because it does feel like that team was not engaged in the beginning of the game. Ah, man.
Is there any way this backfires, though? I mean, I know people always say they love Dak Prescott, and he is like a pro's pro. So maybe this actually gets guys to wake up and refocus, but it's not nothing. Dak has definitely found his voice a lot more. You heard it a little with the contract negotiations between him and Jerry, saying, oh, there's life after the Cowboys if that indeed happens. I mean, he's gotten a lot more assertive.
I pick the Cowboys to win this division. Do I need a mulligan here? Is it either 1-2, they get a get-right game, presumably on Thursday night. I'm starting to get really worried about my pick here. I pick the
Eagles.
You pick the Eagles.
I pick the Cowboys to miss the playoffs.
Yeah.
So the fact that the quarterback is calling out the offense after week three, I'm wondering if maybe I was onto something.
Yeah, I think you might have been.
Listen, now also with the Commanders putting on a show like they did last night, going toe-to-toe with Cincinnati and ultimately winning that game, and the Giants now, I'm not actually all the way there on the Giants. I think the Browns are bad. So I don't know if I can get there with the Giants, but at least the division's not going to be a total walkover.
Frankly, the Browns could have won that game. They fumbled at like the 18-yard line at the end of the game. The Cowboys have feasted off
the Giants.
The Giants and a little bit the Commanders lately, too. I'm not sure. I think it's a little early to say that they're not going to win those games. If they win those games that they should, they can still sneak into the playoffs. And the Eagles are, the Eagles are playing very close games as well.
Yeah, I don't feel great about the Eagles either.
No, I know. Somebody's got to win that. Are you thinking, am I seeing a spark of maybe Washington?
I wanted to pick Washington even before the season started, but when I go through the win losses, I couldn't get there. But I was really, how could you not be impressed by what happened last night? Curious to the Cowboy fans, do you like this from Dak Prescott calling the offense unprofessional? 855-212-4227. Do you think they respond well? Because if you go out and lose to the Giants, or even if it's close and you end up just like squeaking out a win, I wonder if people start to say, geez, maybe Dak should have been a little bit more, hey, keep everything in house.
Yeah, I'm not sure I like it. I think every quarterback should get up there and say, it's on me, not on my teammates. Like, and I know they don't mean it, but I'd still rather hear that. That's what a lot of guys do. I mean, your guy Josh Allen, he never really calls out anybody.
You heard it from Trevor Lawrence last night. Bogus is here with an update. I mean, Trevor Lawrence was like, I suck. It's me. Last week he said, we suck. Today he's like, I need to make some more throws. And you know what? He's absolutely right. Yeah, Bogus, I'm sure you've got details. I'm sorry.
I would say, if anything goes wrong here, I just throw Ryan Botcher under the bus and say, Ryan screwed it up. That's the...
I know.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we do around
There's
here.
There's no one less professional than Ryan.
Yeah, Ryan Botcher.
Yeah. Gets here early, on time, knows everything.
Yeah.
Reading our minds,
he knows
basically.
His assignments. He's the opposite of a Cowboys... third receiver.
Yeah, right.
Not hard to do.
Compared to those guys, definitely.
And the rest of our crew.
Well,
if you're just here, you're already winning.
Yeah, that's true, too.
I think most people here are quite professional. They know their assignments.
Well, you mean in this room right now?
Yes. The people that I could see right now are all quite professional.
We've got a good extended crew. We're lucky on this show.
Our crew is fantastic.
I feel for some reason like somebody's funneling us good people consistently.
To be honest.
You're welcome, Perloff.
EJ behind the scenes, yeah.
I mean, we love D-Cell. We love Stu and Samter.
Is nobody who's...
Well... We love Zach.
The tie.
We love Bogus, Dale.
Shut your mic off. Somebody, Ryan, do us a favor. Shut Bogus's mic off.
This is where we get in the murky area. Once you pass Stu...
We love Bilotti. We love Amy. We love JR. We love Hickey.
But we're not talking about on-air people.
No,
we're talking about the rank and file.
Like Carlos... Bart, this is salt of the earth people we're talking about here. How about Carl Dukes on the weekends? I mean, we're lucky to have these people.
I do think I said this since I've been in radio now since 2009, 2010. There are a lot of very good producers here.
I know.
It is. I'm not talking about the on-air people are great too, but it's crazy. Like, people don't screw up. I've worked with young people who couldn't do anything, and everybody here seems to know what they're doing.
They've been to the Bilotti School of Hard Knocks.
Is that what it is? Bilotti's choir.
I always thought Bilotti training was some sort of junket that Bilotti was going on. He's like, I'm not working today. I'll let this young person do it.
Yeah, no, that's a scam. I would just... If you want to complete your research, I would just say wander in here on this coming Sunday at like 3:30 and ask for a football highlight and see what happens.
Whoa. I'm on tape this weekend.
It'll be done great.
All right, that's a bad time then. So let's try 8:30 Sunday night and ask for a clip.
No. I'm doing the night one.
Whenever Botcher's not here on Sunday, ask for a clip and see what happens.
Like this morning I came in and I was like, wow, there's a lot of stuff in here. Well, Nico was here last night.
Right.
He's amazing.
Love Nico.
It could have very well been somebody else. And I may have been trying to cut stuff from scratch to get the show ready. I would have ran in here at 5:59 to get the show ready.
I feel like just to balance this out, we should throw someone under the bus through the years. Maggie, you've had you must have had a bad producer somewhere.
I'm not saying a word. I love everybody.
I've never heard you rip a producer, really, ever.
No, I would have thought everyone would have been so scared of Dan Patrick. I mean, how are you not scared of Dan? Even if he's very nice, you're still scared of him.
Dan, totally. But Dan moved from ESPN to his attic.
Right.
He got to the point where he was hiring the pool guy to be a tape off.
Like, hey, you just cut the lawn. Can you come up here and book a guest for us for
brags,
tomorrow?
Yeah, he brags about it all the time. He turned complete non-broadcasting people into these incredible producers. You know, the director of his show, who's been been nominated for Sports Emmys, was basically a construction worker who built sets. And he said, hey, do you know how to switch the cameras here? He's like, I'll figure it out.
Nice.
Dan,
can you run the TriCaster?
But no, and everybody was great at Dan Patrick's show. But I really do think, like, the fact that you call for sound and it's there consistently, I'd say a good 73% of the time.
These guys read my mind. Ryan, Manny, Carlos, Nico, Nick, Pipilotti. You guys read my mind. I forget, Pat Boyle?
Yep.
I mean, we're lucky.
Yeah, I do think.
I have dementia.
But, all right. Now, this is all too positive, though. Somebody rip somebody. Come on, Bogus. Rip. Go ahead.
To be honest, here's the long story is we've all been waiting for the first cracks of the Bilotti armor in this shift to the overnight. Mm-hmm. And yesterday morning was the first time angry, salty Pete reared its ugly head because whomever was here Sunday did not do enough work and good enough work for the after hours Sunday night experience. And Pete was not happy about it. I don't know who those people were, but they broke Pete.
Pete Bilotti, of course, who was on this show and now is overnights. I've actually never seen a human being whose eyes were open less than Pete walking out of the studio today. It was the smallest crack that they were open. I think maybe fatigue
is
setting in.
Like when someone just like cracks the window on a window shade?
I have a sense fatigue might be setting in with Mr. Bilotti.
Yeah. The honeymoon phase is fading.
Oh, guys, come on. It hasn't even been that long.
He texted me and was like, my body is not feeling well.
But the problem is Pete does not go home and sleep. He's kind of got specific. Other things going on. Yeah. That is the issue. It's not the overnight show. It's that Pete has the rest of his 24 hours are booked too.
And in a unique to Pete experience, he's using the same metaphor. It began as, this is why I'm doing well. Now he's using the same thing to say why it's so bad. When it was first going, how you doing, Pete? Good, man. You know, it feels like one long day. I'm doing well. That didn't sound good. When you say something sounds like one long day over 5 days, that sounds like a negative. But at the beginning, it was a positive. Today, he said this to you.
Yeah.
He goes, it feels like one long day. I just got to get past that, and I'll be okay. So it still feels like one long day. That used to be good news. Now it's bad news.
Listen, I think you guys are selling him short. He's getting used to a new schedule. It takes a minute. You got to be able to pick your spots.
I think it's been a month, Maggie. Three weeks. This is week four.
Just feels like one long day to me.
Yeah.
Update, shall we?
Your headlines.
Oh, and Amanda. Everyone in the chat telling me Big Zoo and Amanda. How could I forget? Two of my absolute favorite people just on earth, let alone at work.
Two MVPs right there.
Yeah, I know.
Headlines are sponsored by Prize Picks. Football season's here, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks, use code MNP, and get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. Maybe asking the actual Jaguars if they are done with Trevor Lawrence would also be an 80-20 poll question. Somebody and some things in danger after last night's 47-10 shaming in Buffalo. Here's head coach Doug Peterson.
There has to be changes, whether it's play design, personnel, everything. Everything's on the table, let's call it, right? And those are all things that we have to, you know, I have to look at. We have to look as a staff and make the adjustments.
But then, Mac Jones, step on it.
Yeah, he did. He did not go as far as really saying we would consider taking Trevor off the field
because that'd be dumb.
Yes,
that's not the move.
But their offense has done next to nothing since the first half of game one, and Lawrence has lost his last 8 starts now.
I'm not playing as good as I can play. Just point blank.
No such issues for Josh Allen. 22-28, 247 yards and 4 scores in the first half of this game. 4 different guys caught those touchdowns. 10 different players caught a pass. The other Monday night game had 2 good offenses. The Commanders did a little more scoring, winning in Cincinnati 38-33. This is the first game since 1940 without a punt or turnover. The only times Washington didn't score, kneeling out the first half and then kneeling out the win. Jaden Daniels accounting for 3 scores while completing 21 of 23 passes for 254 yards. Joe Burrow threw for 324 and 3 touchdowns, but his team is 0-3.
0-3, obviously. Not very good. Not where we want to be. So we just got to come back on Wednesday, try to get better.
And maybe ask the cleaning crew to not vacuum at that moment. Tua Tagovailoa is apparently...
They had enough.
You know, right around his feet as he's talking.
Yeah.
It's like, late.
Nice pink shirt. We got to get out of here, man.
Tua apparently feeling good a week and a half removed from that concussion. He'll meet with neurologists this week to decide the next step of his recovery. Christian McCaffrey is in Germany to see a specialist about his Achilles issue, and there's another key injury in San Francisco. D-tackle Javon Hargrave is likely out for the season with a torn triceps. Here's the Mountain West realignment rundown. We mentioned an hour ago the conference thawed. It had a commitment from its remaining 8 schools that would have included big payouts to UNLV and Air Force for sticking around. But now Utah State's reportedly headed for the Pac-12, which has led those running Rebs to reconsider their future as well. For the first time since 2011, the Phillies are NL East champs after a 6-2 home win over the Cubs. The Astros losing at home to the Mariners 6-1, so they did not clinch the AL West. And longtime Rockies outfielder Charlie Blackmon says he is retiring after this season. Guys, back to you.
Do we have an update?
I can't find one. I've looked all around. I've searched. Mm.
All right.
It's just too early.
It's Tuesday. The game was Sunday at 3. We're talking about the Fever ratings.
Yes.
That is weird, right?
Well, we have breakfast on the line. And if it was 2 million or if it was more 2 million or more, I have to buy breakfast for everyone. If it was less than 2 million, Perloff has to buy breakfast. And now I'm like starting to get a little hungry and I really want to know the rating. Is it too early to text people we know in sports media?
Yeah. No, hit up anybody. But then again,
7:30 in the morning.
As soon as they know, they're going to put it out there, though. So I'm not sure that they're sitting on it.
But they must be because the ratings come out. We already have the ratings for the Sunday night football game. We have the ratings for the Chiefs Falcons. They said it was like 27 million people watching.
Yeah, the best Week 3 game since NBC's had the package or something like that. I mean, maybe the numbers aren't great, and that's why they're not rushing them out. Maybe they want to wait till this morning and drop a big number so people go, oh, wow, and not be distracted by
the NFL
games? I don't know.
Good luck.
I don't know.
The NFL has a way of being really distracting, so I don't know.
It feels like a 9 a.m. drop.
Gosh, if that was a close game, I would feel so much better about this. Because 2 million is not a huge number. She averages 1.5 during the season, during the regular season.
No, I get it.
I was in such good shape. ABC, everything was lining up to win that bet, and now I'm so nervous.
I mean, as much as we want to run up your tab with steak and eggs and, I don't know, lobster burrito, egg burritos.
Does that exist?
I don't know.
It should,
right?
Great.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we just all are gentlemen and buy whatever breakfast we want. And then one of you guys pays now. And if you have to repay the other because the bet is...
Oh, it's like splitting the baby here. So you guys like Maggie more, so you would definitely not
throw
up her tab.
Right.
But you dislike me, so you would order expensive
Chiro
things.
Stick?
Yeah. So I'll do it right now. I'll pay for... I'll hedge my bet and I'll pay for breakfast for everybody, not knowing. So you don't know if it's going to be me or Maggie. So you
order however you want to order.
Order right. However you want to order. So order a normal Dunkin' Donuts egg and cheese sandwich.
Wait, so you want to lose either way?
Well, I don't want to lose big. I'm trying to avoid having to buy steak for everybody.
And Maggie's hungry, so we're trying to get Maggie fed, too.
Yeah, Maggie had a night game. We got
honestly,
it.
You wouldn't like she's it like
a
hungry.
She's like a gremlin. You got to get her food.
Not
after
the first
a
time
night
I've heard
game.
That. Yeah, I know. Well, I wasn't eating buffalo wings last night. I was taking this one really easy. You guys asked me before the game. I was super zenned out about this game.
You haven't had... Yeah, what is the... You have to... We can come back. What is the game day ritual that you're doing now? You used to have the buffalo wings and do certain things.
All my stuff with the outfits and everything and watching it in my special spot on the couch. And to be honest, it wasn't working.
Oh, okay.
Because they were losing in heartbreaking fashion. So I've had to reimagine the whole routine because clearly it was me.
It's not the fact that the game was on 7:30 on a Monday night.
No, I watched this one from my bed.
Yeah, it was a weird time. All right, so now you're not going to do anything until they lose.
Well,
then
also,
you can try the rituals again.
Exactly. I mean, there are some things. So I'm generally opposed to eating in bed. I don't love it. For a long time, I was like very staunchly opposed to it. Since I've had a kid, I've kind of like loosened up a little bit because crumbs in the bed and all that stuff. There's nothing worse than you can't eat chicken wings in a bed. That's
no.
insane.
Yeah.
I'm an adult.
It's not really a dilemma that most people run into.
Well, maybe. There's certain foods you can eat in bed and there's certain foods you can't. Right.
I'm sure in Western New York, this is like a ballot initiative that has to be questioned. Do you eat wings in the bed?
And of course they do there, but
yes.
The rest of us humans do not.
No.
I mean, if you don't have a side of blue cheese just right on the nightstand in Buffalo, you're doing it wrong. But I don't live there anymore.
Is there anyone except a Bills fan who would utter a sentence, you can't eat buffalo wings in a bed, right? Looking for permission? You're suddenly looking for permission, right? Anyone with me?
It's tough. You get some hot sauce on your pillow. It can get in your eye.
Or you got a midnight snack. You roll over and there's some
licking
sauce.
Licking your pillow.
I prefer to eat buffalo wings in a bar because they're so messy. I don't even want them in my kitchen, let alone in the bed.
No, I want to eat them in private.
Do you guys eat it all in bed?
Not wings.
Not wing, yeah.
Well, definitely not wings.
I live in a small New York City apartment, so there's two TVs. The upstairs TV, if I want to watch a game and my wife is downstairs watching something, I have to eat and watch a game in bed. Like, I'll eat a sandwich in bed, and it's very controversial.
It's not well liked.
She hates it.
There's one thing you could eat in bed. One food. Everyone know what it is? I think there's one acceptable food that you can eat
in bed.
I have
no idea.
Popcorn.
Ice cream? Oh,
popcorn.
No. You can eat a lot of things in bed.
Popcorn, though, popcorn can cause some crumbs.
It can, but I feel like that's an acceptable thing. Like you're watching a movie or something, you can eat some popcorn.
So I could eat chips. It's the same thing. Chips, Doritos.
Chips with salsa? Then you're getting into a danger area.
Yeah. Salsa.
I can handle salsa, I think.
Steady hand.
But you're eating like, you sit down and watch a movie with a bowl of ice cream. You can pull that off in bed.
I don't. My kids eat popcorn and 30% of it is in their couch by the time the meal's over.
So there's one thing about eating ice cream in bed that I don't like, which is I'll eat ice cream and then I'll just put the bowl on the nightstand. And then I wake up and it's like the remnants of last night. It's like, oh, that was a bad decision. Just right in my face. Anyone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that dried ice cream at the bottom of the bowl is... It's like a hangover.
Like, yeah. Same thing happens like a wine glass. It's like, right next to the bed, huh?
Yeah.
Couldn't even put in the dishwasher.
Wake it up, small headache. Ugh.
Yeah, that's our married that's post 40 walk of shame.
Totally. The other one too is anytime, like now that the canned seltzers and everything is like alcohol in a can is very big. Sometimes if there'll be an empty canned seltzer in our bathroom garbage, I'm like, that's bad. I feel
it's
a degenerate.
Shotgun and Trulies in the shower, man?
I'm like, I couldn't even just go downstairs to throw this and recycle it, by the way, not even throw it out. Anyway, 855-212-4227.
Doing your makeup, chugging seltzers.
It's just called getting ready.
Mom's asleep in the tub again.
Drooling. Okay, lots more to get to, including your thoughts on the Cowboys. Dak Prescott calls out his teammates on the offensive side. Was he in the right or in the wrong? It's Maggie and Perloff. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Dak Prescott calling out his teammates after a loss to the Ravens. Said the offensive side of the ball unprepared, unfocused. Perloff says he doesn't like it. Dak calling out his teammates. I like it. I think it's showing a little leadership.
Well, I mean, the Cowboys' big problem is they can't stop the run, so I'm not sure it's a central issue. But in principle, how can you like a quarterback calling out his teammates? That just doesn't sound right.
Yeah, I think it's okay when if they're clearly need some calling out. Like, I trust Dak to know his teammates. It's not like he does this all the time. He doesn't get accused of throwing people under the bus. He's not a me guy. So if he's going to do this, I think it shows, like, damn, you really got to fix some things in Dallas.
Yeah, I generally, as a rule, say the quarterback should say one thing. It's on me, it's on me, it's on me. That's what the great quarterbacks do. But Mahomes has never thrown anyone under the bus.
He's never had to. Dak needed to.
Fair.
Kevin is our pal in San Antonio. Kevin, you think the Cowboys' issue is not with Dak, it's with someone else.
Yes, sorry about that. Yes, I think the whole problem, this is 30 years ago, it started with Jerry Jones got fired. It went downhill after that. And what I think is, that's a leadership with Prescott. But the thing about it is that Jerry Jones is in full control of the coaches and everything else. It's not the coach, it's him, because he's the one that overseeing the whole team.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Kevin, as they say, buck stops with him, right?
Well, and right. Even more so with Jerry Jones than any other owner.
You know, it's funny because, Kevin, thank you for the phone call. This is another reason why I kind of like Dak Prescott doing something like this. Because instead of, you know, Jerry always speaks for the team because he'll do his interview today and he's in the locker room after every game and there's a horde of people around him. Our pal Matt Mosley, who got the big quote from him about why can't you stop the run? Well, why don't you have a mansion, you know? And it was a funny quote. But Dak's got to also, he realizes he's the one who's going to have to like pay the price publicly. You know, Jerry's the owner. He can't fire himself, can't bench himself. They just gave Dak all this money. For him to stand out there and say, listen, on the offensive side, we've got to be more focused and more prepared. To say that after week three, when you got all this time left in the season, you don't want things to slip away. I like it.
Yeah. What you're saying is kind of like a desperation, not a desperation move, kinda. But they need a wake up call. You know what though? But did Dak get them up for the Packers game last year? The leader, the quarterback, he was okay. It wasn't really. I mean,
it wasn't a great game for him.
They got gashed on. I mean, it wasn't a great game, but CeeDee Lamb kind of alligator armed a key pass early in the game. I'm just not sure that Dak has inspired this team in the past in big moments, so I'm not sure he's the one to say this. The quarterback is supposed to be so much more than just a quarterback.
Right.
He's supposed to be a real leader. Like, that's what, you know, you might not see it in the analytics, but you always hear legends. Like, everyone rallied around John Elway. Everyone rallies around Tom Brady. Tom Brady was the ultimate guy. I feel like if Tom Brady was on your team, he didn't need to call people out in a press conference. You knew you had to perform for Tom Brady because he set that standard. I'm not sure I love it from Dak.
Well, and what else did Brady have that Dak doesn't? He had the
Belichick.
Winning.
Oh,
proof of concept. Well, do Dak it my way and it will work.
Dak's won in the regular season. Yeah, but, you know, I think people saw Belichick yelling at Brady and Brady yelling at himself, and just the level of accountability throughout that Patriots building is not there with the Cowboys. So maybe you're right. Maybe this is trying something to get everybody to step up.
Listen,
but by the way, if you can't stop the run, what difference does the offense make?
Well, I mean, that's a fair point. But here's the thing. Like, if Dak was the kind of person who was always kind of, you know, throwing shade at people or passive-aggressive comments, and this is just another in the long line of him not taking accountability for stuff, then I could understand it. He doesn't do this. And the fact that he is doing it now kind of stands out to me. And quite frankly, he probably should. And he should be looking at himself too. But they've had two back-to-back losses. And I don't care that they scored 19 points in a furious fourth quarter. It wasn't enough. And they've dug themselves in such a terrible hole that you didn't take a lot of solace in the fact that they even made it somewhat close at the end.
Yeah, that's a tough game. A desperate, desperate Baltimore team.
Now you're on a short week. You got the Giants on Thursday.
They
on the road.
Better win this game. Yeah, oh, my. True. This might be the most must-win game of week four in a long time.
Has one team's season already come way off the rails? And can they get it back on track? We're going to hit that next. Maggie and Perloff.